It's time for this week's edition of the Virtual Bible Study. The Virtual Bible Study is a live, internet-only call-in program dedicated to the honest study and discussion of God's Word. Do you have a question about something in the Bible, or are you simply interested in learning more about the Scriptures? If so, we hope you'll stay tuned tonight as we look into the pages of God's Word. The Virtual Bible Study is brought to you this time each week by the College View Church of Christ in Columbia, Tennessee. You can participate in the discussion tonight by calling 931-381-4567 or by emailing your questions or comments from collegeview.com. We hope you'll take out your Bibles and study along with us as we begin an exciting study of God's Word on this edition of the Virtual Bible Study.
And welcome to the Virtual Bible Study. We're glad that you're with us on this Thursday night. We're live. We're ready to go. The number to call to be a part of the program tonight is 931-381-4567. We have a unique email address for you to use tonight on the program. The email address to participate in the program tonight is vbsquestions@gmail.com. Dad, we've had some interesting happenings with our website. Company went belly up that was doing our hosting service, so we've got a new one. We're patched together, but if there are any difficulties with the website tonight, we'd like to hear that about that from our listeners so we can get those repaired.
Yeah, we were shocked to learn yesterday that our web host provider had gone out of business and phones were shut off and they were unavailable for any help, so we had to try to get our website up through a different host in short order. So some of you who may be searching around on our website may find that not everything is there yet. We don't have all of our archives of past programs back up and so forth. But hopefully we are getting out tonight and that we've got some of our regular listeners. The ways that you can get to the program, of course, one way, the easy way, is to go to www.thevirtualbiblestudy.com. That'll take you directly to our program. That's still working as it always worked. But the church's homepage has changed, and the address now is www.collegeviewchurch.com. And so if you're going through the church's homepage, you need to know that new address. The old address does not work anymore. So our new homepage is www.collegeviewchurch.com. And also we've had to make a change in how you send us questions or comments during the program. As you said, Jacob, our new questions email address is VBS, that stands for Virtual Bible Study, vbsquestions@gmail.com.
And that's hopefully a temporary address, but it's a fix for now. So remember that address to participate in the program tonight, vbsquestions@gmail.com, or call us anytime at 931-381-4567. We want to hear from you on the program tonight. You know, Dad, as we talk about our website being down and we've got it back up and running now, it is a good opportunity to tell our listeners anytime that you have any recommendations on what we could do differently on our website or how we can make our website better. We'd like to hear from you. And if you have any recommendations about the program, if there's anything about the program you'd like to see changed, any suggestions you have as to make the program better, we'd like to hear from you on the program or via email anytime. Let us know how you think we can make the program better. If there are any subjects you'd like to be discussed, let us know, and we'd be interested in studying those subjects with you on the Virtual Bible Study. We're glad that you're here tonight. We hope you'll stay tuned. Dad, an interesting subject for discussion, something we've never talked about on the program. I'm confident of that. We're going to talk about the Masons on the program tonight.
When we talk about Masons, we're not talking about the guys who lay brick at your house when you're building a new house. We're talking about the Masonic Lodge, the free and accepted Masons. We want to talk about Masonry. It is an interesting subject. It's worth talking about. It's sort of a mysterious organization, and they try to keep a lot of secrecy surrounding it, but there are a lot of people involved in Freemasonry. One statistic I read, I found it rather incredible, that 10% of the U.S. adult male population members of the Masonic Lodge. That's pretty interesting. As I said, it's a mysterious organization, and that's by design, and we're going to talk some about that. But there are also some related or associated organizations. People may not know that these organizations are related and associated with the Masonic Lodge. You've got the Eastern Star, Rainbow Girls, Job's Daughters, Demolay, and the Shrine. All of those are various branches or related organizations with the Masons. And so we're talking about that group of people. Now, I've already got one email. James has emailed us and suggested we need to be careful that the because Masons don't like to be talked about. He just sent an email and says, be careful. They are watching. So if there are Masons who are out there in the audience listening this evening, we're glad you're there. We'd like your participation. If you'd like to call in or email us, we'll put you at the head of the line. We'd like to have any comments from any who are a part of those organizations that we just mentioned. We're going to talk about it from a biblical standpoint. We're not going to try to express personal prejudices or our own opinions. We want to look to what the Bible says in comparison to what the Masons teach and claim. That will be our program tonight. If any of our listeners have experience with the Masons, you know something about it, maybe you've been a Mason, maybe you are a Mason, or you know those who are, send us an email. Give us a phone call.
That's right. The number to call, again, is 931-381-4567. Or send us an email to our unique email address tonight, vbsquestions@gmail.com. vbsquestions, all one word, @gmail.com. Dad, you know, James mentions the fact that the Masons may not like us talking about them. The truth isn't always popular, but we've got to talk about the truth. And if there are those who are in error, as we believe the Masons are, we need to expose that error and implore people to repent and change so they can be in a right relationship with God.
Well, Jacob, I think we should point out that you and I have never been Masons. In fact, for that matter, I don't have any family members that I know of that were ever a part of the Masonic Lodge. And someone might ask, how do you know then, and how can you talk about it? I've actually had Masons pose that challenge. How do you know, and how can you talk authoritatively about the Masonic Lodge if you've never been a Mason? Well, the fact of the matter is there's a number of books that they have published, and we can look to their own publications and read from them what they believe and what they teach. And so we're going to be quoting a number of sources, Masonic sources, and using them as our authority as to what the Masons believe, what they practice and teach. And by the way, Jacob, I want to say this now. We'll try to repeat it at the end of the program. If anybody's interested in any of the quotes that we're going to offer from some of those sources, we'd be glad to provide those to you. We can send you them via email. If you have PowerPoint or PowerPoint Viewer, we've got this in a PowerPoint, and we can send you that PowerPoint presentation. Just send us a message. Send it at the same address, vbsquestions@gmail.com, and we'll forward a PowerPoint attachment to you. If you don't have PowerPoint Viewer on your computer, send us an email and give us your snail mail address, and we'll send you those charts via snail mail.
And this offer goes to people who may be listening to this program in the podcast or the archive form. Anytime you listen to this program, if it's this later on this week, if it's next month, next year, send us an email. We'll try and fulfill your request and get that emailed to you anytime. Send us an email to vbsquestions@gmail.com. That email address will work, and hopefully there'll be a new address in the coming weeks.
Okay, now let's talk about Masonry. What do we know? I think there's some obvious points to talk about, Jacob, and one of them is the idea of the secrecy. It's a secret organization, and they work very hard to maintain the secrecy of the Masons. If you talk to someone who's a Mason, you know, they may have the Masonic ring on or a lapel pin or something else that designates them as being a Mason, but if you ask them about it, they won't say much about it. It's a secret organization. The most Masons go through what's called the first 3 degrees of Masonry. Most men usually stop having passed to the 3rd degree of Masonry, but you can go all the way up to the 33rd degree of Masonry. Very few ever achieve to that level, but they take an initiation pledge in which they promise to maintain secrecy. Jay, what is that pledge?
Here's the pledge that the Masons take. I, of my own free will and accord, in the presence of Almighty God and this worshipful lodge, erected to him and dedicated to the Holy Saint John, do hereby and hereon most hail, forever conceal, never reveal any of the secret arts, parts, or points of the hidden mysteries of Masonry, which may have been heretofore or shall be at this time or any future period communicated to me as such to any person or persons whomsoever, except it be a true and lawful brother Mason or within the body of a just and lawfully constituted lodge of Masons, nor unto him or them until, by strict trial, due examination, or lawful information, I shall have found him or them as lawfully entitled to them as I am myself. I furthermore promise and swear that I will not write, print, paint, stamp, stain, cut, carve, hew, mark, or engrave them on anything movable or immovable, capable of receiving the least impression of a sign, word, syllable, letter, or character, whereby they may become legible or intelligible to any person under the canopy of heaven, and the secrets of masonry be thereby unlawfully obtained by unworthiness. There's the pledge, Dad. The pledge is nobody is to find out what I know about the Masonic order.
That's pretty plain. I mean, that's pretty plain. They're not going to talk about it. They're not going to write about it. They're not
even a letter of it or a syllable of it.
By the way, that's from Duncan's Masonic Ritual and Monitor, pages 34 and 35. So that's from one of their sources. And we didn't make that up. You know, I don't think I could have made that up, Jacob. But we didn't make that up. That's a quote from one of their publications, Duncan's Masonic Ritual and Monitor. And so it's clear that they want it to be secret. They're not going to talk about it. They're not going to tell anybody about it. Now,
you think it's clear? Are you picking up an idea there?
I think it's very clear.
All right.
But here's my question. If this is such a high and noble organization and so valuable and worthwhile, why would you want to keep it a secret? What's the advantage of maintaining the secrecy? If this is such a good thing, why wouldn't you want to talk about it? That's just, to me, just a plain curiosity. Jesus, you know, was when Jesus was on earth, when he was teaching and preaching, John 18, verse 19, the high priest asked Jesus of his disciples and of his doctrine, and Jesus answered him, "I spake openly to the world. I ever taught in the synagogue and in the temple, where the Jews always resort, and in secret have I said nothing." You know, Jesus, in stark contrast to the Masons, was out there and open. He was wanting people to hear him and investigate his message. Why the Masons want to maintain that secrecy, I can't understand.
Well, 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15, 1 Peter 3:15 gives the instructions to Christians to be anything but secret. 1 Peter 3:15 says, "But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear." The command to Christians is you need to be ready to give an example or give an explanation of the things that you believe. We're not hiding the truth as Christians. The Masons, on the other hand, are sworn to secrecy. They can't tell anybody the secrets of the Masonic order.
Well, that's just one of the very obvious things that we notice about Masonry. But there are a number of other things as well. For instance, did you know that the Masons teach the principle of mental reservation? You know what mental reservation is? Albert Pike, who was a 33rd degree Mason and who wrote a famous book called Morals and Dogma of the Freemasons, said this. He said, "Masonry, like all the religions, all the mysteries, hermeticism and alchemy, conceal its secrets from all except the adepts and sages or the elect, and uses false explanations and misinterpretations of its symbols to mislead those who deserve only to be misled, to conceal the truth, which it calls light, from them, and to draw them away from it. Truth is not for those who are unworthy or unable to receive it or would pervert it." That's from Morals and Dogma, pages 104 and 105. So he actually acknowledges that they're going to purposefully deceive and misrepresent and mislead people so that they don't come to an understanding of what Masonry is all about.
Because truth is only for the certain people who can accept it. You know, that's, again, the opposite of what the Bible teaches. The Bible teaches that everyone should be exposed to the truth, and then it's up to them to accept or deny it. But the Masons have a different view. I like this quote, Dad, from later on. He says, the blue degrees, I guess those are the
first three degrees, one, two, and three.
So those are the junior Masons, so to speak, are but the outer court or portico of the temple. Part of the symbols are displayed there to the initiate, but he is intentionally misled by false interpretations. It is not intended that he shall understand them, but it is intended that he shall imagine he understands them. Their true explanation is reserved for the adepts, the princes of Masonry. It is well enough for the mass of those called Masons to imagine that all is contained in the blue degrees, and whoso attempts to undeceive them will labor in vain. The people who are just starting out, we'll tell them these symbols and we'll tell them what they mean, but that's not really what they mean. And then we'll reserve that until later on.
And we'll have them so convinced that if you try to undeceive them, you won't be able to. That's what he said. That's, again, Albert Pike, 33rd degree Mason, writing in Morals and Dogmas, page 819. So another thing about the Masons, an obvious point, is they teach misrepresentation and lying. How's that? That doesn't seem right, does it? We'll talk about some more things. Jacob, I think we're up against
a
break.
That's right. We are against a break. Let's take a break. And while we're at the break, why not send us an email or give us a call right now? You can call us on the phone at 931-381-4567. Or you can email us to the unique email address, vbsquestions@gmail.com. Stay with us. We'll be back right after this.
Did you hear what they just said? Call in during this break and let everyone know what you think. The virtual Bible study continues after this announcement.
Hello. Hey, Matt. No, I don't have any plans for Friday night. What are you doing? Oh, I won't be able to go with you to watch that movie. Because, Matt, the movie is rated R. Hey, why don't you just come over and hang out at my house Friday night? Great, I'll see you there.
Being pleasing to God means that you may have to be different than the crowd, but don't be afraid to stand up for what's right. You just might find it is easier than what you expect. A message brought to you by College U Church of Christ.
I'm Troy Smith, and now I'm 13 years old.
I'm Mike Smith. I'm Troy's dad, and we love to listen to the virtual Bible study every Thursday night.
We're waiting to hear from you. Call in right now and join in on the virtual Bible study. Now, back to the program.
Welcome back to the virtual Bible study tonight. We're glad you're a part of it, and we'd like to have your participation. The way you can participate in the program tonight is by calling 931-381-4567 or by sending us an email to vbsquestions@gmail.com. Like to hear from you on the program tonight. If there are any technical difficulties that you're experiencing with our new webpage, let us know that as well. We need to hear from you if there are any problems with our website. We're talking about the Masons on the program tonight, Dad. We've noticed a couple things about them already that is unbecoming and just plain out sinful, that they lie if they need to conceal the secrets of their practices.
And you almost said religion there, Jacob.
We'll get to that in a minute.
We're going to talk about that in a minute, but let's talk about something else. One of the things that I've always thought was just amazing was the titles that they use in the Masonic Lodge. Right Worshipful Master, Right Worshipful Grand Master. Every lodge has one of those, and every Mason has used the terminology. In other words, every Mason has necessarily referred to another mortal man as Right Worshipful Master. The fifth degree of Masons are called Perfect Masters. The tenth degree of Masonry is called Grand Pontiff. 26th degree is called Prince of Mercy. 32nd degree Mason is called the Sublime Prince of the Royal Secret. What about those titles, Jacob? What do you think about that? Jesus had something to say about using titles in Matthew chapter 23. In Matthew chapter 23, beginning at verse 8, Jesus said, "Be ye not called Rabbi, for one is your master, even Christ, and all your brethren. And call no man your father upon the earth, for one is your Father, which is in heaven. Neither be ye called masters, for one is your master, even Christ." So when you've got the Right Worshipful Master of the Masonic Lodge, again, that would seem to be in direct contradiction to the Bible.
Well, I look back at Acts chapter 10, Peter and Cornelius. When Peter met Cornelius in Acts chapter 10, verse 45, Peter, as he was coming in, Cornelius met him and fell down at his feet and worshipped him. Cornelius thought that there was a man who was worthy of worship. He thought Peter was worthy of worship. Peter was a great man, but notice what Peter said. In verse 26 of Acts chapter 10, Peter took him up, saying, "Stand up, I myself also am a man." Peter understood that men are not worthy of worship. God is the only being worthy of worship. Men are not. And therefore, we understand that the idea of Masons having the title of being worshipful and someone who deserves worship, that's just wrong.
Moving on to another point, Jacob, what about the oaths they take? Jesus warned about oath-taking. He said in Matthew chapter 5, verse 33, "Thou shalt not forswear thyself, but shalt perform thy oaths unto the Lord." I'm reading verse 33. Jesus started out by saying, "Ye have heard that it hath been said of them, Thou shalt not forswear thyself, but shalt perform unto the Lord thy oaths. But I say to you, swear not at all, neither by heaven, for it is God's throne, nor by the earth, for it is his footstool, neither by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. Neither shalt thou swear by thy head, because thou canst not make one hair white or black. But let your communication be yea, yea, nay, nay, for whatsoever is more than these cometh of evil. So Jesus warned about oath-taking. But notice the kinds of oaths that the Masons take. In the Masonic book, Look to the East, pages 30 and 31, one of the oaths they're expected to take says, "All this I most solemnly and sincerely promise and swear, with a firm and steadfast resolution to keep and perform the same, without the least equivocation, mental reservation, or secret evasion whatsoever, binding myself under no less penalty than having my throat cut from ear to ear, my tongue torn out by its roots and buried in the sands of the sea, at low water mark, where the tide ebbs and flows twice in 24 hours, should I in the least, knowingly or wittingly, violate or transgress this my inner apprentice obligation, so help me God and keep me steadfast."
Hello.
I didn't make that up. That's actually what they're expected to, the oath they're expected to take.
I have, the penalty would be having my throat cut from ear to ear, my tongue torn out by its roots and buried in the sands of the sea at low water mark, where the tide ebbs and flows twice in 24 hours. Sounds like an oath to me.
Yeah. Another one. Upon entering the Royal Arch, the seventh degree of Masonry, according to Duncan's Revised Ritual and Monitor, page 230, "I furthermore promise and swear that I will assist a companion Royal Arch Mason when I see him engaged in any difficulty, and will espouse his cause so far as to extricate him from the same, whether he be right or wrong." In other words, they take an oath to help a brother Mason, whether they be right or wrong. Even if he's wrong, I'm gonna help him out, even in his error. So those are the kind of oaths they take. Now, all those things, Jacob, are just sort of some initial observations about the Masons. How could a Christian be a Mason just on the basis of those simple observations? It's something I just can't understand.
What do you think about the Masons? 931-381-4567, or remember the unique email address for tonight, vbsquestions@gmail.com. We'd like to hear from you on the program tonight. Let us know you're out there, and let us know if you have any comments. We need your participation on the program tonight. Now, those are obviously objectionable things, but the most objectionable, perhaps, I don't know if there is more objectionable sin than other. There obviously isn't in God's eyes. But an objection that we have is that the Masons claim to be a religious organization.
You know, this is something that a lot of Masons will just out and out deny. I've talked to a number of Masons, and when you say, you know, the Masonic Lodge is a religion, they'll say, it is not. You know, and they'll just vehemently deny that they are actually a religion, but they are by their own claim. They are. Every lodge is called a temple. Every lodge has an altar. Every lodge has symbols of deity. There's a rite in Masonry called baptism. There's a fraternal supper among the Masons that uses bread and wine. Sure sounds like a religion.
And from their own writings, they claim as much. Albert Pike, again, the 33rd degree Mason, in his book Morals and Dogma, writes, "Every Masonic lodge is a temple of religion, and its teachings are instructions in religion. Here we meet as brethren to learn, to know, and to love each other. This is the true religion revealed to the ancient patriarchs, which Masonry has taught for many centuries, and which it will continue to teach as long as time endures." They say so in as many words that this is a religion.
Albert Pike, who is acknowledged to be one of the greatest scholars of Masonry, says Masonry is a religion. We got some other quotes too, Jacob. The Kentucky Monitor, page 28, says, "This is because Masonry is a religious institution." The Indiana Monitor, page 35, says, "Freemasonry is a charitable, benevolent, educational, and religious society."
Albert Mackey, a 33rd degree Mason, in his Encyclopedia of Freemasonry, writes, "I contend without any sort of hesitation that Masonry is, in every sense of the word, an eminently religious institution, that it is indebted solely to the religious element which it contains for its origin and for its continued existence. And that without this religious element, it would scarcely be worthy of cultivation by the wise and good." Again, they're claiming that Masonry is a religion.
And you know, if you analyze that quote there from Albert Mackey, he's basically saying, if I didn't believe it was a religious organization, I wouldn't bother. It wouldn't be worth the effort. And so the people at the highest levels of Masonry, those who, you know, we read earlier that the lower degrees don't understand all that's involved in masonry, and that the higher degrees supposedly understand all of its meaning and import. Those fellows at the highest levels are saying this is a religious institution. This is a religious organization. So we got to take them at their word. That's what they say. So we'll have to take them at their word. Now, there is a problem with that, Jacob. A man-made religion? What does the Bible say about man-made religion?
Matthew chapter 15, verse 9, a passage that we're all familiar with. But in vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. This is obviously a religion we can't read about in the Bible, Dad. Therefore, it is a religion of men. And if it's a religion of men, it obviously has commandments of men. And that would violate the commandments of God. In vain would we worship if we're teaching doctrines of men.
That's exactly right. Is there anybody out there who has experience with Masons? Send us an email, vbsquestions@gmail.com. Send us an email or give us a phone call. Are you a Mason? Do you have relatives who are? Do you have personal experiences in dealing with the Masons? Maybe there's somebody out there who once was a Mason and who's now come out of Masonry. I've known some people who did that. It's not an easy thing to do. And a sort of persecution that they try to place upon you if you do that. But, you know, we'd love to hear from any of those who have some personal experience with Masonry. Give us a call or send us an email. The phone number is 931-381-4567. Again, 931-381-4567. Or the email is vbsquestions@gmail.com.
That's right. And I think we're getting some calls, some people having some problems with our new website. Hopefully you're able to get on. If you are out there listening, let us know by sending us an email. Just tell us you're out there. And hopefully we aren't having lots of problems with the website tonight.
Well, if somebody's trying to get to our website via the old church homepage, that's just not going to work. Okay. Let's keep going. I think some people are listening to us. We know some are out there listening to us. You got to get to us either by the virtualbiblestudy.com or collegeviewchurch.com. That'll get you to us. Concerning the idea that Masonry is a religion, one of the things that's wrong with the religion, in other words, it's wrong for them to have a man-made religion, and additionally, in that religion, they actually acknowledge that they share a spiritual fellowship with people who are unbelievers. Note what Albert Pike wrote in Morals and Dogma, page 726. He said, upon entering the order, the initiate binds himself to every Mason in the world. Once enrolled among the children of light, every Mason on earth becomes his brother and owes him the duties, the kindness, and the sympathies of a brother. So every Mason is his brother. Now, notice that in that same book, on page 226, that's Morals and Dogma, page 226, Masonry, around whose altars the Christian, the Hebrew, the Muslim, the Brahmin, and followers of Confucius and Zoroaster can assemble as brethren and unite in prayer to the one God. So now think about this. If there's anybody out there listening and you're a Mason, but you're a Christian, you're a believer in Jesus Christ, you claim to believe in Jesus Christ, but you've made yourself a Mason, and you've become a brother with every other Mason around the world. But around the world, there are Masons who are Hebrews. That is, they're Jews. They don't believe in Jesus Christ, the Son of God. There are Muslims. They don't either. There are those who follow Confucius and Zoroaster. They don't even believe in Jehovah God. And you've made yourself a spiritual brother with these unbelievers. Now, I would beseech anybody out there who's a Mason, but you call yourself a Christian, you got to think about that. Surely you got to think about that.
We cannot be associated with those who are in religious error. The Bible is very clear on that, that we must avoid those who are in religious error. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14 tells us very clearly, be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers, for what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness, and what communion hath light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Belial, or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God, as God hath said, I will dwell in them, and they walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. The Bible's very clear. We cannot have association with those who are in the world, who are not followers of Christ. We cannot have fellowship with those people, yet the Masons claim to do just that. What do you think about Masonry?
You know, I got to believe that a lot of people who are Masons here in the United States, people who would call themselves Christians, do not recognize. I know some in the Churches of Christ who are Masons. Do you recognize the truth that we've just revealed to you from the Masonic books, their own writings, that the Masons claim a spiritual fellowship with people who do not believe in Jehovah God or Jesus Christ, his Son? How can you be a Mason with that being the case?
The number to call is 931-381-4567, or send us an email to the unique email address tonight, vbsquestions@gmail.com. We'll take a break, and when we get back, we need to hear from you, 931-381-4567 or vbsquestions@gmail.com. Stay tuned. We'll be right back after this.
After these important messages, we'll be back to take your comments. Email them during this break.
Hello, everyone. I'm Monty, a member of the College View Church of Christ. So you've been hearing all about the College View Church of Christ on the virtual Bible study and are interested in finding out more about the church. But you live hundreds of miles away from Columbia, Tennessee, and can't come and visit with the congregation to find out more. There's no reason to fear. After all, we live in the 21st century. Here's what you can do to find out more about the College View Church of Christ. First, why don't you check out our website while you're listening to the virtual Bible study? You'll find important information about the church there, including bulletin articles there on various subjects, and can even listen to sermons that have been presented at the College View Church in the past. Secondly, if you have questions about the church or about any Bible teaching, why don't you send an email to us and let us know how we can help. Send your questions to questions@collegeview.com. That address, once again, is questions@collegeview.com. We can even have a personal Bible study with you over email if you desire. And finally, if you would rather talk with someone in person, give us a call at 931-381-4567. That's 931-381-4567. You can call this number anytime. If you don't get an answer, leave a message and we'll call you back as soon as we can. We're glad you're listening to the virtual Bible study and hope to hear from you soon.
I'm Arthur Haynes from Calilka, Tennessee, and one of my greatest highlights of the week is to listen to the virtual Bible study.
Missed a recent virtual Bible study program? Listen to any of our past programs from the archive section of our website. Now, back to the virtual Bible study.
And we're back, and we're glad that you're here. We're glad some of you were able to make it here. We're getting some emails, some calls, and some people are having difficulty. But we're glad that you're here, and we hope you'll stay tuned to the top of the hour. We're talking about Masonry on the program tonight. We believe there are a lot of things that are wrong with the Masons, and we're talking about some of them. One of them is they're clearly a religious organization. And they also, Dad, by their own acknowledgement, deny that that the Bible is the inspired Word of God. Notice this quote from the Manual of the Lodge, page 217. The Bible is used among the Masons in the country of America as the symbol of the will of God, however it may be expressed, and therefore whatever expresses that will may be used as a substitute for the Bible. In other countries, it everywhere, Masonry conveys the same idea, that of the symbolism of the divine will revealed to man. Masons say you can use the Bible if that's what you believe is the will of God, but if you believe something else is the inspired Word of God.
If you believe maybe the Quran is the Word of God, then use the Quran. That's as good as the Bible. In other words, they're denying the unique features of the Bible that we believe prove it to be the exclusive and only revelation of man to man from God. The Masons don't accept that, so they deny the Bible. You know, they also deny the deity of Jesus Christ. This would have to be significant. Surely this would have to be significant to somebody who calls themselves a Christian but still is a member of the Masonic Lodge. Do you know they deny the deity of Jesus? Albert Pike, 33rd degree Mason, in Morals and Dogma, wrote concerning Jesus, divine or human, inspired or only a reforming Essene, It must be agreed that his teachings are far nobler, far purer, far less alloyed with error and imperfection, far less of the earth earthy than those of Socrates, Plato, Seneca, or Muhammad, or any other of the great moralists and reformers of the world. In other words, he says he's at a higher level than those other moralists and reformers of the world, but it says, is he divine or human, inspired or only a reforming Essene? We don't know. We just agree that his teachings are of a noble sort, but it's pretty plain that he is unwilling to designate Jesus as the only begotten Son of God.
Notice what Jesus said, though, in John chapter 8, verse 24, I said, therefore, unto you that you shall die in your sins. If you believe not that I am he, you shall die in your sins. Jesus is very clear there. We must believe that he is the Son of God. If we do not, we will die in our sins. The Masons tell us, though, it doesn't really matter what you believe. Jesus might be the Son of God. He might not. We don't know. It doesn't really matter. Whatever makes sense to you.
Jesus said in John 14 and verse 6 that I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. Jesus said you got to believe in me, and you can't come to the Father except through me. And so that's important. Got an email from James. He said, did you notice that the Da Vinci Code heavily relied on Masonic symbols? No, I didn't know that. I have not read the book, and I didn't see the movie, so I didn't know that, but that's sort of interesting, because I know, Jacob, you did a program on the Da Vinci Code and showed some of the misrepresentations and falsehoods of that book and movie.
Well, that is interesting. Did not know that, though, but appreciate James for calling that out. 931-381-4567 is the number to call. vbsquestions@collegeview.gmail.com. vbsquestions@gmail.com is the address for you to use in the program tonight. We'd like to hear from you as we talk about masonry on the program tonight.
Jacob, maybe this, the bottom line here is that the Masons teach salvation in masonry without the church. The Masons believe that you could be saved by just being a Mason. You wouldn't have to be a member of any church. You could just be a Mason, and that would get you to heaven. Notice from the Kentucky Monitor, page 73, the speculative Mason, therefore, is a moral builder for eternity, fitting immortal nature for that spiritual building which shall exist when the earth's proudest monumental piles shall have crumbled in dust and the glory and greatness of earth shall have been forgotten. In other words, the Mason is building for eternity, it says there. In the same Kentucky Monitor, it says, What, in fact, are the true wages of a master mason? They are the rewards of a well-spent life, a glorious immortality. The cardinal doctrine of masonry is that the soul of man is immortal, and masonry teaches virtue as the way of living a life to attain that end, that I, quote, may receive the master's wages. So if you're a good mason, you could earn your salvation eternally. That's what the Masons teach.
And we see from Albert Pike, morals and dogma. If a man yields himself to it, he will need neither churches nor ordinances except for the expression of religious homage and gratitude.
You don't need churches. You don't need ordinances. Just be a Mason. You can be saved by being a Mason. Now, what about that in contrast to what the Bible teaches? The Bible teaches, for instance, in Acts 4, verse 24, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. All who are saved, Acts 2, verse 47, are added to the church. If you're a saved person, you're in the Lord's church. You can't be saved without being in the Lord's church. The Masons just absolutely have it wrong on that.
And finally, Dad, the Masons prohibit their members from teaching the gospel. This is sort of the I'm okay, you're okay type of philosophy. The Masons promote that. It's very clear from their teachings. They don't want you to condemn.
In other words, if you were a Mason and a Christian, then the Masons would say you can't be spreading your Christianity. You can't be teaching your faith to others.
A logical extension of their other premises that it's okay to be a Muslim or a Buddhist or whatever you want to call it, as long as you're a good person. That's basically their premise. So then why would you want to convert someone else? It would be sort of mindless and contradictory. But they're very clear that they don't want you spreading your gospel.
Let me read from Albert Pike, 33rd Degree Mason, Morals and Dogma, page 333. To respect all forms of worship, to tolerate all political and religious opinions, not to blame and still less to condemn the religions of others, not to seek to make converts, but be content if they have the religion of Socrates, a veneration for the Creator, the religion of good works, and grateful acknowledgement of God's blessings. Notice, you are specifically forbidden to make converts. Now, what did Jesus say we were supposed to do?
Jesus said in Matthew chapter 28, verse 19, he said,
you're going to get that one.
Well, go ye therefore into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be he that believeth and baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned.
I think you're combining Matthew and Mark's account of the Great Commission there. But
I'm locked up here.
Matthew 28:19. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the world. The Great Commission obligates Christians to go and teach others. And if you were a Christian and a Mason, the Masons would be telling you can't do what Jesus expects you to do via the Great Commission. So put that all together. Jay, what we've done is just sort of run down a list of things as to why a Christian cannot be a Mason. I think that's the conclusion you have to reach, is that a Christian simply couldn't be a Mason for some of the obvious reasons we said, like their secrecy, the mental reservation doctrine, the titles they wear, the oaths they take. Those are some obvious things. I mean, you ought to be able to recognize that just instantly. But when you dig a little deeper, Jacob, you see that Masonry is a religion.
It is a religion, and therefore it should be avoided. What do you
By their own claims, they are a religion, so it's got to be avoided.
Got any other comments about Masonry? Let us know, 931-381-4567, or send us your email to vbsquestions@gmail.com. Tell you what, Dad, we've got about 20 minutes left to go before the program is over. We can just open it up to any kind of Bible question that you may have. Any question or comment you may have about the Bible, let's take it for the next 20 minutes on the program tonight. We've got some questions that have come in throughout the weeks to our website. We'll take some of those questions, and we'll take a question or comment from you. Anything you've got out there, a Bible-related question or comment, send it in now to vbsquestions@gmail.com or call us 931-381-4567. It's wide open now. Any question or comment goes.
All right. If we got 15 minutes left or a little over that, we'll take our last break, Jacob. And when we come back, let's go to any questions you've got. We'll sort of do a 15-minute open forum here.
Any question you got, Paul's thorn in the flesh is off limits, though. So stay tuned. We'll be back right after this.
These guys are doing all of the talking. We need to hear from you. Call in now. The virtual Bible study continues right after this.
Hello, everyone. I'm Wade Shelton, a member of the College View Church of Christ. If you're like me, you've probably heard a lot of rumors about what the Church of Christ is all about. But regardless of what the rumors you may have heard, let me just quickly tell you what we are about. The College View Church of Christ is simply a group of Christians that is committed to doing everything that God has commanded us in exactly the way that He commanded us to do it. So we just simply open our Bibles and study them to determine what God has commanded us to do, and then we try to do it. It's just really that simple. Are you interested in being part of a group of people who have this approach to serving God? If so, I hope you will join me and my family as we worship God with the College View Church of Christ this Sunday at 9:30 a.m.
Hello, my name's Jeffrey Vernon. I'm 13, and this is the Virtual Bible Study.
Broadcasting around the world with truth that are out of this world, the Virtual Bible Study. Take it away, guys.
Welcome back to the program. We're glad you're with us tonight. We're glad you've taken time to be a part of the Virtual Bible Study. We remind you the Virtual Bible Study is brought to you by the College View Church of Christ in Columbia, Tennessee. If you're in the Columbia, Tennessee area, we would encourage you to come and worship with us so you can find out what it is that we're all about. The College View Church of Christ meets on Sunday morning at 9:30 a.m. for a period of Bible study with classes for all ages, followed by a period of worship at 10:30 a.m. on Sunday morning. And then on Sunday evenings at 6 p.m., we meet for another period of worship. On Wednesday evenings at 7 o'clock p.m., we have another period of Bible study with classes for all ages. We would encourage you to come and visit with the College View Church of Christ to find out more about what the Church of Christ is all about. If you have any questions or need more detailed directions to the meeting place of the church, visit our website, College View Church, or thevirtualbiblestudy.com, or give us a call anytime throughout the week. Give us a call at 931-381-4567. We look forward to meeting you. We hope you'll visit with the College View Church of Christ soon.
Jacob, we've got some email questions that have come in that I've kind of been holding, but we'd be glad for any new questions anybody wants to send us here as we wrap the program up. But I got a question from Dawson up in Indiana, and I hadn't commented on it, but it is an interesting question. A lot of people are wondering about this. Is the nation of Israel still God's chosen people? What about that? Is the nation of Israel still God's chosen people? We know that in the past, as recorded in Old Testament times, God had a special covenant with the children of Israel, and they were his chosen people, and he had special promises and special blessings reserved only for them. Some people think, in fact, a lot of premillennialists, most premillennialists think that God still has some special plan for the nation of Israel in the future, and that they are waiting for the end time things to happen wherein God will specially bless the Jews, the nation of Israel. What about that? Well, there are probably several passages we could go to that I think clearly says that is not so. Let me read you Galatians chapter 3, verses 27 through 29. It says, "For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither bond nor free, there is neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you be Christ, then are you Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise." Notice, Abraham's seed today is not the physical nation of Israel. We are Abraham's seed if we have been obedient to the gospel of Christ, if we've been baptized into Christ. There's no distinction in God's mind between Jew and Greek anymore, or Jew or Gentile anymore. We are all one. He makes no distinction. There is no special favored status for the Jews.
Well, we also see that God makes a promise in Hebrews chapter 8, verse 8 beginning, "For finding fault with them, he saith, Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel, with the house of Judah, not according to the covenant I made with their fathers in the day I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt, because they continued not in my covenant, and I regarded them not, saith the Lord. For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws into their mind, I will write them in their hearts, I will be to them a God, and they shall be to me a people. And they shall not teach every man his neighbor, and every man his brother, saying, Know the Lord. For all shall know me, from the least to the greatest. For I will be merciful to their unrighteousness, and their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more. In that he saith a new covenant, he hath made the first old. Now that which decayeth and waxeth old is ready to vanish away." We see that God has a new people today, Dad. They're still referred to as the children of Israel, but it is not the physical children of Israel that God has a covenant with. It's the spiritual children of Israel. And that's clear in that passage that God is not does not have regard to that physical kingdom of Israel today, but it's the spiritual kingdom that he's interested in.
Exactly right. And reemphasizing that same point, Jacob, Romans 2, verses 28 and 29, "For he is not a Jew, which is one outwardly, neither is that circumcision which is outward in the flesh, but he is a Jew which is one inwardly, and circumcision is that of the heart, in the spirit, and not in the letter, whose praise is not of men but of God." The ones that God considers, and here I think that Paul is using in the book of Romans the idea of those in a special relationship with God. It used to be the physical Jews, now it's the spiritual Jews. We are spiritual Jews. We are Abraham's seed if we are obedient to the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Now, correct me if I'm wrong, Dad. Those Christians who are premillennial and who believe that God has promises that he'll fulfill to Israel, do they not believe that the Jews can still be pleasing to God today, that Jews are pleasing to God by denying that Jesus is the Son of God?
Well, we were talking about the Masons earlier and said one of the problems is that, you know, they are in fellowship with people who deny the deity of Jesus, but the Jews deny the deity of Jesus. Jesus said, "I'm the way, the truth, and life. No man cometh to the Father but by me." John 14, verse 6. How could people who deny the deity of Jesus Christ have special favor or status in God's mind? It just doesn't work, does it?
It's an oxymoron.
Let me look at another passage in Ephesians chapter 2, beginning verse 11. Paul writes, "Wherefore remember that ye, being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision, by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands, that at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace, who hath made both one, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace, that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby. We've been made one. There's not two. In other words, God doesn't look at men, whether they be Jew or Gentile. All who are faithful in Christ are one in one body.
You know, this is interesting with the political developments of late, Dad. A lot of people who are premillennialists, a lot of Christians who believe that God has unfulfilled promises for Israel, are really standing up to support Israel, and whatever Israel does, they're standing there with them. I saw some pictures from, yesterday or the day before at the UN. They had this big meeting with all the world leaders there. There were Christians outside protesting and saying, support Israel, Christians supporting Israel. And that is because of a misunderstanding of this idea that God has promises that he has not fulfilled to the nation of Israel and that he will fulfill someday.
That's exactly right. And we've had some discussions in the past on premillennialism. And one of the aspects of premillennialism is that God still has those unfulfilled land promises, unfulfilled promises that he made, and therefore there has to be a restoration of Israel so that he can fulfill what he didn't fulfill. But in Joshua chapter 21, verse 43, Joshua said, and obviously he'd be the one in the position to know best, he said, and the Lord gave unto Israel all the land which he sware to give to their fathers, and they possessed it and dwelt therein. Verse 45, there failed not aught of any good thing which the Lord had spoken unto the house of Israel. All came to pass. And so the premise of premillennialism, that there's got to be some future kingdom, some future earthly kingdom in which the Jews will be restored and God will fulfill his unfulfilled promises to them, just doesn't work.
You're talking about news items. Have you noticed this week or in last week how the Pope has agitated the Muslims by saying that he believes that the Islamic religion promotes itself by the sword? Have you heard about that, Dan?
Yeah.
Isn't it? Well, there's a lot of ironic things in that news story. First thing that's ironic is that the Muslims took offense to that, and how do they react? By violence. Isn't that ironic?
Yeah.
We're not. No, we don't. Let's get our swords and go kill the Pope because he said that, right?
Yeah.
But another ironic thing and a disappointing thing is that the Pope has taken the politically correct stand on that, and he's backing down on that, says he respects Muslims now. He didn't mean that. Those weren't his words, and he's backed off of that. It's that's sort of disappointing.
Yeah, it really is. If you're out there, you got a question you want to bring to us here in these last few minutes of the program, do so. We're kind of doing a few minutes here, open forum. Any question goes. I got another email question here. It says, in a recent study with some Jehovah's Witnesses, they denied that Jesus is God or a part of the Godhead. Now, how would you refute this?
Well, depends on whose Bible you're studying from. My Bible, I would take them to John chapter 1, beginning of verse 1. Where Jesus' deity is clearly defined, John chapter 1, verse 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. As we drop on down in the context, we see that the Word became flesh and dwelt among men, and that the world did not receive him. Talking about Jesus very, very clearly there, Dad, in John chapter 1, verse 1 and on down, the Jehovah's Witnesses, as they call themselves, will not deny that the Word there is referencing Jesus. Their version of the Bible, though, they changed the text to make it less obvious that Jesus is, in fact, deity, that he is, in fact, God.
That's right. Their New World Translation obscures the meaning of that verse, and it is a flawed translation at John 1, verse 1, where it says, where the King James says, the Word was God. The New World Translation says the Word was a God, not God, and so they've corrupted the translation there. But we know that the Father called Jesus God in Hebrews chapter 1 verse 8. Unto the Son he saith, Thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of Thy kingdom. So the Father said to the Son, Thy throne, O God, is forever. The Father called the Son God.
Interesting, in the Hebrews chapter 1 there, it also refutes another doctrine that the Jehovah's Witnesses have about Jesus. They believe he is an angel. And in Hebrews chapter 1, verse 5, but unto which of the angels said he at any time, thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee? And again, he saith, and again, I will be unto him a father, and he shall be unto me a son. The Jehovah's Witnesses actually suppose and theorize that Jesus was actually Michael the archangel, because Jesus will come with the sound of the archangel, with the trump of the archangel. Therefore, they conclude that Jesus is the archangel, and that he is Michael the archangel. But God says there in Hebrews chapter 1, verse 5, that he has not referred to any angels the way he has referred to Jesus.
Yeah. In Matthew chapter 1, verse 19, Joseph, Mary's husband, being a just man, not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost, and she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. There is the reference to the prophecy of Isaiah. Isaiah 7:14, a child will be born, and his name is called Emmanuel, God with us. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6, a child will be born, and his name called Mighty God, Eternal Father, Prince of Peace. So Jesus is definitely referred to as God in these passages.
One other passage is Philippians chapter 2, and we see Jesus, verse 5, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. Jesus is equal with God. Jesus is God. Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 and 6 clearly teach that. Numerous passages we could go to, Dad. The idea that Jesus is not deity, is not God, is simply erroneous, cannot be substantiated by the Scriptures, and is blasphemous.
Colossians 2, verse 9, for in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. So just over and over again, we read from the Scriptures that Jesus is God. The Jehovah's Witnesses are wrong on that. Got an email from Wade. He says, I'm wondering why in Acts 6-7, a great company of the priests were obedient to the faith. Did they need to be obedient if Israel was God's chosen? No, this is back to our earlier question. Is Israel special in God's estimation today? Wade's point is, why did priests have to be obedient to the faith? If Israel was still going to be special in God's plan, why did people have to be converted from Judaism to Christianity? I don't know the answer. I don't think there is a good answer to that question. I think clearly that just further illustrates our point.
But a lot of people who would call themselves Christians, I'm afraid, would say that the Israelites, the Jews, are still pleasing to God by denying that Jesus is God's son. Again, Acts chapter 4, verse 12, neither is there salvation in any other. There is none other name under heaven among men whereby we must be saved.
Well, Jacob, just in wrapping up, we talked most of the program tonight about Freemasonry, and we used a lot of quotes from some Masonic sources, some official Masonic sources. And as we said at the start of the program, if you were curious about those quotes and would like to have them for your own reference, if you'll send us an email message, vbsquestions@gmail.com, we can email you a PowerPoint. If you've got PowerPoint Viewer or PowerPoint on your computer, we can send you a PowerPoint with all those quotes on slides. If you don't have PowerPoint, if you'll send us an email at vbsquestions@gmail.com and give us your snail mail address, we'll send those out to you via snail mail.
That's right. Send us an email, vbsquestions@gmail.com. Or call us 931-381-4567. Thank you for your time tonight, Dad. Enjoyed the study with you.
Well, I hope we got out to most of our regular listeners. I know we're kind of jammed up with this all this website controversy, but hopefully we got out there, and hopefully we'll kind of get this thing ironed out and be back to normal by next week.
That's right. We hope you'll make plans to join us next week, and tell a friend to join you on the virtual Bible study next week. In the meantime, we encourage you to put God first in your life, study His inspired word, the Bible, and live by it every day. You'll never regret it.
Thanks for listening to the Virtual Bible Study, brought to you by the College View Church of Christ. The College View Church of Christ meets at 1618 Hampshire Pike in Columbia, Tennessee. If you are in the Columbia, Tennessee area, we encourage you to worship with the College View Church of Christ on Sunday mornings at 9:30 and on Sunday evenings at 6 o'clock. The College View Church of Christ also welcomes you to attend their Wednesday night Bible studies at 7 o'clock. If you have any questions about something that was said on tonight's broadcast or would like more information about the College View Church of Christ, please call 931-381-4567. That number again, 931-381-4567. Or for more information on the internet, visit collegeview.com. Be sure to tune into the Virtual Bible Study this time next Thursday for another informative study of God's Word.